Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, we have Patricia Saunders. Patricia studied music before training as a teacher of the Transcendental Meditation Technique. She is now a PhD researcher in the Department of Maharishi Vedic Science at the Maharishi University of Management, researching consciousness and Vedic sound from the perspective of the Vedic tradition of knowledge. Patricia is a published poet, with her poems appearing in the journals of Mulberry Literary, Literary Yard, Rue Scribe and Remington Review. She is also an author. Her book, An Antidote to Violence, Evaluating the Evidence, was published in 2020 by Changemakers Books. And her latest book, Creating a Happy World, Cultivating Happiness Through the Transcendental Program, was published in July 2024 by O-Books.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, Patricia, it is so lovely to have you on the Great Awakening Show.
Well, I'm very, very happy to be here, and I'm sort of really delighted that you invited me. Yeah, I was very touched to see that. So,
honestly, what you're doing and meditation is after my own heart. And today we're going to deep dive into your wonderful book and Transcendental Meditation. So it's just absolutely fascinating. It truly is. So first of all, Patricia, could you please give our audience and tell us what Transcendental Meditation is?
Yes, thank you, Joanne. Well, first of all, Transcendental Meditation, it's TM for short. It's a very simple, natural mental technique that we practice silently with the eyes closed, just sitting in any comfortable position, whether it's, you know, in a nice comfortable armchair or on the floor, cross-legged if one wants, or wherever. And it allows the thinking mind, the active thinking mind. I mean, our mind is always buzzing, isn't it?
Mm.
Buzzing in different directions, but it allows the mind to settle down inwardly and experience what we call pure consciousness, which is basically the transcendent. And when we transcend all activity of the mind, then we experience the transcendent, and that's a level of very deep peace and happiness. And it's an experience way beyond mind and senses. This transcendental state, incidentally, it's referred to as a fourth state of consciousness, distinct from the first three, waking, dreaming, and sleeping. And of course, you know, there are as many words to describe it as there are traditions that honor it. And I mean, it's called samadhi, the self, the Tao, being, for instance. I mean, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, oneness. I'm sure you could probably supply a lot more, Joanne. So I mean, that's basically what it is. And during the process of TM, I mean, the body enjoys a really profound state of rejuvenating rest. And at the same time, the brain functions with much greater coherence. That means much greater orderliness. It functions better, just to sort of really reduce it down. And thinking about it, I mean, there are many benefits to meditation, to actually practicing it. First of all, I mean, it helps the body's natural relaxation response, and that reduces stress and anxiety levels. I mean, stress is something that it's a very much a buzzword, and we talk about stress and say, well, you know, is stress good or not good or whatever? I mean, maybe some stress is okay and it doesn't matter, but if you have an overload of stress, if there's an overload on the physiology somewhere or the psychology on our minds, I mean, that is a stress. And then that becomes our enemy. It gets in the way, it makes us perhaps behave in ways that we wouldn't normally do. Normally somebody, you're trying to get the kids together to get them, in time to go to school in time and all the rest of it. One of them spills the tea or the coffee or whatever. And if you're feeling very good inside, then okay, coffee spilt, deal with that later, get the kids to school. You know, it's all very orderly. But if one's feeling very stressed, then that action of spilling the coffee becomes a major incident. Mm. And that's what really one tries to avoid. I can talk about TM forever.
But how can transcendental meditation bring us happiness? Because this is what we're all wanting. This is the human condition. This, we're all searching for that happiness, which I really call oneness, wholeness. Because, I believe that we come down from the spiritual world, heaven, into the world of duality, when that separation causes us stress enough. And we can find that with another, a union with the divine soul or another divine soul, or we can find that within ourselves with higher consciousness, our soul consciousness with God, goddess consciousness, if you like, which is the union, isn't it? The wholeness, which brings us happiness.
Yes, I mean, you've really said it all, Joanne. I'm thinking what I can really add to that. I think, when we first come into the world and we grow up, it seems new. And I have to say straight away that I hold to reincarnation, that,
yes,
we're born many times, but always in the direction of greater and greater happiness, greater perfection and greater, higher states of consciousness, basically. But leaving that aside, it all seems to be new. It's a new world, new toys, new people. And there's a sort of excitement there. There's an interest. But we reach a certain point where we begin to feel incomplete. There's something missing, something that we're not getting. And this is, I think, where transcendental meditation can help, because obviously there are the benefits everyone talks about. Decreased anxiety, more rest, more clarity, inner calm, emotional stability, and all that. But really, these are just symptoms of what's happening underneath. There is that sense of becoming one with the transcendent more and more, because every time the mind settles down and goes beyond the thinking process, it experiences pure consciousness, samadhi, oneness. And every time it comes back out of that state, it brings something of that oneness out with it. And that sense of greater wholeness, oneness, very deep inner serenity builds up more and more within the physiology, within the psychology. I mean, within our whole being, basically. And the end goal, or at least the start of the end goal, is that becomes fully established inside us. And wherever we go, we just carry around that inner sense, that inner stability of silence.
Yes.
And if you can imagine, I'm sure that you probably experience this yourself, and many of your audience does. There are times, you can be, you're feeling very good about yourself and good about the world, and you can be maybe in a very busy railway station at rush hour, everyone rushing here, there and everywhere, but inside you just feel completely at peace, completely at rest, and there's nothing that can really push you off course. And imagine what that would be like to have that 24 hours a day.
Wonderful. Every day. Absolutely, that's what we're all striving for, is it not? That absolute And yes, taking that beautiful, peaceful state into every thought, feeling, word, and action in our everyday lives is giving that out, you know, into that peaceful. And also, when there's chaos, as you said before, in that stress state, learning to come back to that wholeness, to that place of peace, to, you know, to that is so important. You know, that's what it does give you. That's what it does give you. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, we're not complete without it, basically. I mean, you don't have to have practiced transcendental meditation or any other form of, you know, really credible meditation to have flashes of that oneness. I mean, great poets, musicians, great thinkers, even scientists. I mean, Einstein had moments of transcendence, and many other, you know, physicists, scientists have as well.
Yes.
Something that's there, you know, we don't have to really go and search outside of ourselves. It's already inside us.
Yes.
All we have to go is go inside, experience that deep oneness, that deep transcendence, and then bring it out into our activity.
Yes. That is so beautiful, beautifully said. Yes. And according to Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, you work for the foundation, the university. Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Maharishi International University.
Wonderful. Yes. Yeah. With all the Vedic scriptures researching, and it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And
it is. I was only going to add that it's surprising as it may sound, it's a fully accredited university. And all the subjects that people can learn there, from art to computer science to sustainable living and so on, and also consciousness and human potential, all those different topics, one studies in the light of pure consciousness, in the light of the ground of pure consciousness, that everything is an expression of oneness, an expression of pure consciousness. And people, I think, get a very well-rounded education there.
This is honestly, Patrizia, this is how every school should be.
I so agree. Absolutely, I do. I mean, I think many, you know, schools do have their own problems. And I think many of these problems would go away if everybody learnt, you know, some form of meditation. I mean, obviously, I practice transcendental meditation, so yes, I can refer to that. But whatever they do, do something.
Children be to be taught about consciousness, about spirituality, that they are a spiritual being as well as a human being. You know, it's not just this 3D world that exists.
Oh, well, I can add there that in schools where transcendental meditation has been added, there's been a drop in violence, grades have improved, a general overall feeling of harmony within the school. And of course, these children grow up and they become, you know, the leaders, or at least responsible members of society. So, you know, if we don't start at an early age with children, then we're just going to see, I think, more and more chaos and more, you know, violence in the streets. And it's horrible to see that.
It is. And that just comes to another question here. According to the latest World Happiness Report, happiness has dropped amongst the young in North America, pushing the US off the top 20, you know. And why is this? Why is this?
Well, I think, you know, that there are reasons on the surface and there may be deeper reasons as well. But, you know, there are a lot of things that I think can contribute to unhappiness, especially among young people. A feeling of pointlessness. I think one of the problems with the way that science and scientists have taken us is that the concept of physicalism or materialism has gained predominance.
Yes.
And that basically says that everything is physical, everything is material, even things that don't seem to be material are physical at source. And that's it, you know, there's no higher consciousness. I mean, some even deny the existence of consciousness at all.
Yes.
But how does this help anybody? For a start, I think one only has to have experiences of, you know, of transcendence, of oneness, to know that this cannot possibly be true.
Yes.
And it helps nobody. Young people grow up in a world where they think, well, what's the point? You know, my life is worthless. You know, with climate change and environmental problems, maybe the world's not going to survive much longer anyway. And then, of course, you have all the other things like problems with social media. Now, social media has its value. It's a wonderful way of staying in touch with
people.
But
there's a negative side to it. Yeah.
There is, absolutely. It creates isolation. Children, especially young people, drawing into themselves, creating with some kind of digital reality that the sort of warm reality of one-to-one personal contact with people, other children, other people. So, you know, there are a lot of reasons, I think, a lot of reasons for our happiness.
And it's so sad, because I believe spiritual fulfillment is the ultimate happiness. Is it not?
Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, absolute, complete agreement with you.
And that's not being taught. We're not told that. We're not taught that. The curriculums in all schools, you know, the basic ordinary schools are so ancient. They are the same as they were 100, 150 years ago. You know, they don't teach freedom of expression. They don't teach spirituality. You know, everyone is taught the same. So it's a real, I believe that the world is going through a great awakening at this time. And I believe more and more and more, as more light comes in, we really are raising the vibration, raising our consciousness collectively. And I believe that as this happens, well, the darkness has to be purged, because we can't build the new on any darkness that is left. And there is darkness in the world, and there is, you know, suffering and everything in this world. And we have to address that. You know, we have to see it and address it. I really truly believe that it's earth peace through self peace, you know?
Oh, yes. I mean, I couldn't agree more with that. I mean, there is a lot of darkness. I mean, we see it in the way that countries are behaved towards each other, the way that maybe, you know, everything is so divided into different camps, you know, you're for this or you're for that, and so on and so on.
That's
and the harmony is being squeezed out. You know, in schools, it's almost as if they're teaching about sunlight without ever mentioning the sun.
Yes.
You know, they never refer, I can't say they never, I mean, maybe some schools do, but in general, they don't refer to consciousness as being the source of everything we see. Mm-hmm. Everything that we, you know, we see is the result of a vast, an incredibly vast consciousness that's giving rise to everything.
Yes.
And, you know, if they don't know that, and that consciousness, it's light, it's, you know, a scintillating brilliance of light, and we don't see it. Some people do, you know, there are those moments you can just look at something in the environment. I mean, you know, you could look at a rose or a flower, and suddenly it seems to be brimming with light and, you know, even love and happiness, because that's the basis of our world.
Yes.
And unless we, you know, unless we get in touch with that, then, you know, what hope is there for future generations? But I think you're right. There is a great awakening.
Yes.
And, you know, I love the title of your show, because it's so true.
It is.
You know, you can feel it. I mean, maybe dark forces have risen, but so have forces of light.
That's right.
And light always overcomes darkness.
Yes, and darkness has within it its own seed of self-destruction, because light will always overcome, you know.
Yes, Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've always actually said, I don't know that this is original. Somebody may have said it a long time ago and somehow I've unconsciously picked it up. But I've always felt that negativity chases after negativity and sees negativity in negativity. And when it's destroyed everything there is, it turns around and destroys itself.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
That means that, you know, the new level of light, if you like, can rise.
That's right.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And I truly believe that this is the time, especially in this age of Aquarius that we are more moving what we're in now. It's like, this is the time not to look outside of you for that guru or that teacher or that, you know, anyone outside of you, but it's or God outside of you, you know, a politician outside. Look within. This is the time to go within. And I think many more people are doing this.
I think that's right, actually. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And the thing is, we have to decide what we want for our world. I mean, do we want to live in a sort of machine-like, mechanistic, physical universe that seems to have no real purpose other than a purpose that maybe some scientists project onto it? Or do we want a world of light and happiness and love where we realize that everything has a purpose, life itself has a purpose, and that purpose is the expansion of real, deep, true happiness, which is spiritual fulfillment? And that means if life has a purpose, because we're an expression of life, then we too have a purpose. Every one of us has a purpose. And leaving aside, you know, one's maybe a specific purpose within a field of life, our purpose is to expand happiness, our happiness, expand the happiness of those around us, and also gain higher states of consciousness.
Yes.
Because, you know, we may think that how we are at the moment, that's all there is, that's what we are. But it doesn't take much meditation and much prayer and so on to know that there are states of consciousness way beyond what we're experiencing at the moment.
Yes.
You know, where first of all we experience that inner serenity of silence amidst chaos, and then maybe we start to feel intense love and devotion for everything. And then ultimately we feel we know we're one with the entire universe. You know, these are things we have a right to. They're yes. not something that we have to beg for this. We have a right to experience this. And again, it's not just schools. I mean, this is what politicians should be talking about. They should be telling us our right to higher states of consciousness, our right to, you know, fulfill our purpose and our meet and discover a meaningful life for ourselves. Anyway,
it's so true. And that was going to be one of my questions, actually. You know, to describe the states of higher consciousness that bring, you know, that bring greater degrees of happiness. You know,
yes.
I mean, that's absolutely, you know, beautiful. Could you just hold on? Sorry. My dogs are going crazy. Excuse me. Could you be quiet, please? Could you quiet the dogs? Because I'm on a call. Sorry, I will edit that out.
It's okay. It gave me an opportunity to take a cough suite.
You know. Oh, you've got a sore throat.
Not a sore throat, just a little tickle, because I've been doing an awful lot of talking recently.
Bless you.
I just find this cough suite helps. But anyway, yes. Mm. Do you mind repeating the...
No. It was the higher states of consciousness, you know, that bring a greater degree of happiness until the highest state of complete unshakable joy and happiness is there. And that's what it's like, you know, I go into my meditations and I raise the energy upwards into this point here. And it's the love, the light, you know, comes in. It's like photons. I actually connect with it. Photons of light coming in. And it's so beautiful, you know, and it fills me up, and I can't get that in any outside thing that I may try to do. I can only get that feeling, you know, when I go within. It's so beautiful.
Yes, I mean, that's really lovely. And I mean, you're so fortunate to have that knowledge and to be, you know, to be able to practice that and be able to achieve those results and the benefits that obviously come with that result. I think, you know, for Maharishi, who brought transcendental meditation to the West a long time ago now, there are seven main states of consciousness. I mean, obviously, we're familiar with the first three, waking, dreaming, and sleeping.
Yes.
And then that transcendence, oneness, you know, the Tao, whatever you want, however you want to describe it, that is a fourth state of consciousness, which we describe as transcendental consciousness. Now, gradually, that transcendental consciousness is established more and more in the physiology until there's a time when there's never a time, whether we're waking, dreaming, or sleeping, that transcendental consciousness isn't fully established in the mind. And so whatever we're doing, we just carry within that silence, that deep silence from that state. And that's like a platform. That's a fifth state of consciousness, which Maharishi refers to as cosmic consciousness. And then in cosmic consciousness, the mind is fully developed, fully clear, fully at peace, and so on. And the heart is also fully developed, but the heart is not yet ready to completely spill over, to completely embrace everything in its range. And that's what happens once cosmic consciousness is established. Then the heart can't bear separation from itself or from, you know, whatever it's looking at, whether it's an object, whether it's a person, a dear friend. The heart doesn't want that separation. So the heart expands. And as it expands, it draws everything towards it. Wow. Everything is sort of embraced in that love. And it also sees the finer, more celestial values in everything we look at. You know, if we're looking at a rose, instead of just loving the beauty of the rose, we see that the deep, brilliant light that's at the source of the rose. And from there, once that is established and everything that we see just radiates light, love, peace, once we've reached that stage, then we just take that final one step further forward. And we see the same oneness that's in ourselves, in everything that we experience, that we see. And that's the state of unity consciousness. And gradually that expands until everything in creation is part of ourselves. And that, of course, is a state that in the Vedic tradition of knowledge is referred to as Brahman, Brahman consciousness. Fully developed enlightenment. And, you know, it may sound, I'm never going to get there. Or, you know, somebody might think this is impossible. It's idealistic. But as I said earlier, people can have flashes of any of these states of consciousness at any moment. It's not reserved for people that practice TM. It's not reserved for people that do Vipassana meditation or practice mindfulness or do advanced yoga courses. It belongs to everybody. Everyone. These states yes. belong everywhere. And we find them in our own way, in our own time, and along our own path.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And it's an individual thing, isn't it? And, you know,
it very much is.
Yeah. And that is our true home, I believe. You know, that's where we truly reside. That's where our soul resides all the time. And that is what if you want to call heaven or the spiritual world, the unity consciousness, that's where I believe that our soul has projected, you know, a little bit, you know, the soul's part of us, you know, it's just a projection in this world here. This is not our reality, is it? This is just where we come to learn, you know, and it's just the majority of who we truly are, which is our soul consciousness, is already our higher self with God, you know, in unity consciousness. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the reality is really a heavenly state of life.
Yes.
And we, you know, we don't see it.
Yes.
When we're rushing around, yes, doing everything that we do, whether it's shopping, working, hobbies and so on, we don't see beyond a sort of veil that hides us from a more heavenly perception of mm-hmm. everything. But that, of course, we can do.
Yeah.
And the more people that talk about it, I mean, this is where your show is so marvelous, because you talk about these things mm. and people listen and they hear you mm. and then, you know, they find their path and they, you know, they take steps towards the mm. the highest that's right. possible. I think it was
Patrizia, can I just say that heaven is not a place, you know, it's a state of consciousness. It's a state of being, and we yes. move our consciousness. It's like a different dimension, if you will, as well. You know, we yes. move up, we higher, we raise our consciousness, raise our vibration into that place. And I truly believe that, you know, we are all here, and heaven will be our purpose as human beings on this earth. One day is for heaven to be on earth. Is it not?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why we meditate.
Yes.
That's why, you know, people practice yoga.
Yes.
Or, you know, they go to their church, whatever it is, or temple or synagogue, and pray. And it's all to bring about that heavenly state of life,
yes.
heavenly state of consciousness. Yes. It's what we all like. It's what we all want, rather.
Yes.
There's no reason why we shouldn't get there.
Yes.
The only thing that might hold us back would be, well, you know, doubt maybe. But I mean, always doubt the doubts.
I love that. That's lovely. That's so true.
Well, it came from Maharishi originally.
Oh.
We can do anything we want, and we can achieve anything we want. We've just got to decide that is what we want. Mm-hmm. And if it is, then why hesitate? Just go for it. You know, people should ring up their, they should be able to go to their local tourist advisory center or something and say, please direct me to the nearest meditation center so I can...
That's right.
Become enlightened.
That's right. That's so true.
And their teachers at school and people, their employers at work. You know, there are some employers that are really very in tune with this type of thinking.
Yes.
And I was thinking of one particular employer I know in California. He employs a lot of people, and he has a meditation room and a prayer room, and he has a mandatory quiet time within his business, where everyone is expected to, if they meditate, then meditate, if they pray, then pray. If they just want to put their feet up and rest, then they should put their feet up and rest. You know, he makes this mandatory, and the food in the cafeteria, it's all good organic mm-hmm. food. Mm-hmm. Everything is designed.
That is how many, all work in, environments should be. Yes.
They really should.
And can you tell us, there's two questions. The first one is, please tell us about the different categories of meditation. And then I'd like to know afterwards the difference between your view on the difference between meditation and prayer. So please tell us about the different categories of meditation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's actually a very, you know, very important question. I would say ultimately, I mean, thinking of meditation, and then I'll come to prayer. Scientists think that there are, the scientists who've measured all this, investigated all this anyway, have distinguished three basic types of meditation, which mm-hmm. all, you know, credible forms of meditation fall into one or other of these. They have their differences, obviously. But they're either focused attention, which is a kind of concentration meditation, or they're they can be open monitoring. And for instance, mindfulness tends to fall into that category, or automatic self-transcending, which is transcendental meditation, which uses a mantra. And when one meditates, you eventually transcend the whole process of meditating, you know, to experience oneness. And these differ from each other, both in their practice. I mean, what we do, I mean, if I was to practice mindfulness, I would be doing something very different to practicing a concentration or practicing TM. And also their immediate effects. I mean, different types of meditations have different effects on the mind and body. And that's measured by what's called EEG, electroencephalogram measurements. And they determine, or they measure anyway, different brainwave functioning in the brain. For instance, focused attention. Now, if I have this right, it's associated with high frequency brainwaves, and they're called gamma. I mean, you know, I'm not a neuroscientist, so you know, your audience is very welcome to go and check up on what I say, but I'll do my best with you know, with this. And open monitoring is much slower, and it's associated with theta.
And how would you describe how do you get into that? What is open monitoring? I've never heard of that before.
It's just one of the three categories. I mean, open monitoring isn't a technique. It's a grouping. I mean, for instance, mindfulness, where, say, practitioners train themselves just to monitor their thoughts and feelings, not judge them. They monitor them without reacting to them. And they just learn to accept their thoughts, their emotions and bodily sensations and everything without judgment. And just focus their attention on the present moment rather than let it, you know, drift into the past or think about the future and so on. So open monitoring is something that would be associated with mindfulness, with a mindfulness technique. TM practice is associated with alpha-1 brain. Yes, I believe it's alpha-1. When I used to study these things, I think there was alpha-1 and alpha-2, and I think it's alpha-1.
Yeah.
And this occurs when someone is relaxed, for instance, eyes closed but not asleep. And there's an inner wakefulness, but there's no focus on a task. It's difficult to describe, really. It has to be experienced, but the mind is awake, but there's no focus on anything. The mind is simply awake. It's a state of pure wakefulness. And TM doesn't involve any kind of concentration. And you know that, because if it did, there would be more beta or gamma wave measurements. But because there's this very strong alpha-1 measurements in the brain, then we know that somebody is practicing TM.
To get there through mantra.
Yes, it is a mantra meditation. Any meditation that follows that same effortless transcending, you know, allowing the mind to settle down, very easy, effortless way, until it goes beyond thought, experiences the transcendent, should have the same kind of alpha-1 measurement to whatever extent.
Yes, they are, in a beautiful, positive way. You're uplifting the happiness. Yes. You're uplifting the energy and the happiness of the whole world. You know, that's why these massive group online meditations. Yeah, I've been involved with a few of them, and like thousands of people meditating wherever they are in the world at the same time. And it's so powerful. And the Schumann resonance, you know, you can see what it does to the heartbeat of Mother Earth. It's wonderful. This is why, Patricia, we need more people to meditate in this world.
We do. Thank you. And more shows like you.
And we need more books like yours. You know, creating a happy world, cultivating happiness through transcendental meditation program. I mean, how amazing is that? And honestly, where can we read your book?
Well, it's on Amazon, Creating a Happy World, Cultivating Happiness Through the Transcendental Meditation Program. It's on Amazon. I think, as far as I remember now, it's in, Barnes & Noble for the US. And I believe it's now in Waterstones in the UK. So you should be able to, people should be able to find it. The easiest way, of course, is through Amazon. You know, one click and it's there.
And where can...